today on Real Radio.
For if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to withstand God? That was Peter's words. I'm a Jew too, but I saw Gentiles get saved, and he gave them the Holy Spirit. I saw it happen.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through 1 Samuel. Now, of course, 1 Samuel is an Old Testament book, but it reveals more and more the work of the Holy Spirit, which many think is a New Testament teaching only. But as we'll see, this is simply not the case. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs now in a mini-series called Church Growth 101.
The Bible says that God is, and the Jews believe this true, that God has written his name on the land of Israel. And truly he has. Amazing and exciting. Listen, concerning the promised work of the Holy Spirit, Jesus promised in John 14:16. We touched on it last time. Jesus said, and he was speaking to all of his guys just before he left, he said, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he, that's a person, may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. Jesus then says in verse 18, an amazing statement. Remember, he's leaving. He's going back to heaven. And he says, I will not leave you orphaned. I will come to you. How does Jesus come to us? Answer, by the person of the Holy Spirit. And every Christian who has asked Christ to be their Savior has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them. Every believer. But not all believers have the Holy Spirit upon them. That is an experience that we learn from Scripture is an over and over and over again event that comes, as we saw last time and as we maybe we'll see tonight, is by us asking the Spirit to fill us or to come upon us. Many believers post-resurrection Jesus, post-ascension of Christ, believed in Christ and were converted, and then Paul would come to town and he would say, what was it that you were baptized into? And they say, well, John's. We were baptized into John's work, into water. And right then there, throughout the book of Acts, many believers then were baptized with the Holy Spirit, and they began to either speak with boldness, or they had miracles, or they had tongues, or whatever the work of the Holy Spirit dictated in their lives. Very amazing, very exciting. Romans 8:16. I love this because the Holy Spirit was given to not only strengthen the church with gifts and to be at large in the body, but to also give us assurance. Romans 8:16, it says, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Do you know what that means? For the life of me, what do you think that means? Romans 8:16, the Holy Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Don't you think this implies that we ought to know that we're children of God? This word to me is absolutely clear. If the Spirit of God dwells in you, your spirit, that's the part that was born again. You, the part that got saved. Your spirit that's been born again agrees with his spirit that we're the children of God. It's really exciting stuff. Some friends, I know people who need to understand that. They're Christians, but they walk around like this. Oh, golly. What's the matter? I don't know if I'm going to be a Christian tomorrow. Why? I don't know. I could really goof up. That's not what I read in the Bible. Our spirit bears witness with his spirit that we are the children of God. Pretty clear. It's exciting. The Holy Spirit at work. By the way, he's a comforter. He brings comfort. John 16:7, Jesus says, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I leave you. For if I do not go away, the Comforter will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So now we got Jesus telling us it's better for us that he leaves because he's going to send us the Holy Spirit, who is the Comforter. Amazing, exciting. And so that's very, very good news. Jot down these verses concerning the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit baptizes every believer into the body of Christ. That's the Holy Spirit's work. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 12:12. For as the body is one and has many members, but all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit, that's capital S, Holy Spirit, we were all baptized into one body. What does that mean? As I mentioned a moment ago, the moment you're born again, the Spirit of God baptizes you once and for all. Listen, some of you need to hear this. Once and for all, the Spirit of God baptizes you into the body of Jesus Christ. That means, you guys, you got saved, and you got saved once because you don't need to get saved again. You mean I don't need to come forward again? No. Well, how about every Sunday? Because I had a bad week, I'll come forward again on Sunday. You don't need to. The moment you were born again, the Spirit of God baptized you into the body of Christ. Now, you may feel better coming forward, but quite frankly, you're probably trusting in an external outward act of coming forward, but don't let me be the one to tell you that and bum you out. The truth is, you're saved. If you've accepted Christ, you're saved. Yeah, you may have a difficult week, you may have a rough time, but you don't need to go back and get born again again. It's very good. It's very exciting. You get born again. Yeah, you may struggle, but you're born again. The Spirit of God, and the Greek is emphatic and clear. He baptizes you, the Spirit of God, baptizes you once into the body of Christ. How about this term? The Spirit of God places you in the church of Jesus Christ, which is the bride of Christ, which he speaks of as being one with him and his body. Okay? The second thing we want to talk about, the Holy Spirit takes up residence within every believer. In John 14:17, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will be in you. That happens at the moment of conversion. But there is this event that we're talking about tonight, and what David experienced in 1 Samuel 16:13, and what every believer ought to experience if they will just open their heart and understanding to the work of the Spirit. And it is this: the Lord Jesus Christ is the one who baptizes his believers with the Holy Spirit. There's a big difference. Are you guys with me? The Holy Spirit baptizes you into the body of Christ. I have to talk like this. The Holy Spirit does it. But Jesus baptizes us with the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God baptizes the believer into the body of Christ, but Jesus baptizes with the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. Do you get that? It's very important. Mark 1:8. John the Baptist said, I indeed baptize you with water, but you will be baptized, or he will baptize you, excuse me, with the Holy Spirit. You see that with? Very important. Matthew 3:11. John says in Matthew 3:11, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Post-salvation filling or baptism recorded in the Scripture, Jesus said it again just before he left. Acts chapter 1, verse 5. This is a post-salvation filling. In other words, if you're arguing with, well, I don't think this is in the Bible, I'm going to fight this. The church group I came from, we never even talked about this thing. Well, check this out. Jesus said this to believers who were born again, and they had the Holy Spirit of God in them. Because in John chapter 20, Jesus breathed on them, remember? And they received the Holy Spirit. He was dwelling in them, but he had not yet come, what? Upon them. That happened on the day of what? Pentecost. Listen to what Jesus says in Acts chapter 1, verse 5. For John truly baptized you with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Speaking about the day of Pentecost. Acts 13:52. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Post-salvation experience. Acts 11:15. And Peter said, as I began to speak, this is when Peter's given an account of Gentiles getting saved, which the Jerusalem church, you guys, the Jerusalem church They couldn't stand it. These guys were born again Jews who couldn't believe that God would save wretches like you and I. What? Honky? Chinese? Blacks? Hispanics? Non-Jews? He's saving non-Jews? Can this even happen? That's what the Jerusalem church was thinking. How can this happen? See, the Jews had always been taught in their traditions, not from the Bible, but even perhaps James and others were so polluted by tradition that when they heard Gentiles getting saved, they didn't think it was possible because they had been taught by rabbinical teaching that God created Gentiles to be fuel, charcoal, for hell. That's what they taught. In fact, in Israel today, Orthodox, they still teach that. That you're nothing but fuel for hell. Yeah. Do you ever? When's the last time you had an Orthodox Jew knock on your door and try to evangelize you? They don't want you! If you run into their place of worship, they run out! They're not going to knock on your door and say, become a Jew today. It's not going to happen because they believe that you're fuel for hell. So when the Gentiles were getting saved, the Jerusalem church was going, oh, there's something really weird here. This grace, this message, this salvation is getting out of hand. And Peter said, hey, here's the deal. I began to speak. He says, the Holy Spirit fell upon them as I was speaking, just as it happened to us at the beginning. Then I remembered the word of the Lord, how he said, John baptized with water, but he will baptize with the Holy Spirit. For if therefore God gave them the same gift as he gave us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to withstand God? That was Peter's words. I'm a Jew too. But I saw Gentiles get saved, and he gave them the Holy Spirit. I saw it happen. Isn't that great? I love how God works. He doesn't care what anybody thinks. Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 6. And it happened while Apollos was at Corinth, that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, and there's Ephesus and all listed there, finding some of the disciples. These guys are born again followers of Jesus Christ. Paul says, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? So they said to him, we have not even so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. There's some churches today that we don't even know if there's a Holy Spirit. So then what were you baptized into? So they said the baptism of John's. And so Paul said to them, John did baptize a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe on him who had come after him. That is on Christ Jesus. And when they had heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. They were already believers. You see, it happened to them after they had gotten converted. In fact, they didn't even believe there was a Holy Spirit at all. Isn't that interesting? Powerful. One of the functions of the Holy Spirit is to give, as we see here in this last verse quoted, ministry, works, gifts to strengthen the body of Christ. Ephesians 4:11 says, for the gifts are given for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body. You ought to mark that because that's what the gifts given by the Holy Spirit are all about, to build up the body of Jesus Christ, the church, to a perfect, or that is a complete man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Wow, how do we grow? Listen, according to Ephesians 4:11-13, how are we as a church going to grow mature? It will only be by the gifting and the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And so tonight we want to consider a few things. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to look here for a moment because we need to consider this gifting, this filling, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that you understand this, that when on the day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out. Now, class, that was 2,000 years ago. Yet Peter says, whoa, everybody, listen, this is great. This is what was prophesied by the prophet Joel. Joel? That was in the Old Testament. Yeah, in the last days, I will pour out my Spirit. And listen, in 2nd chapter of Acts, people were gathered around from all over the known world. And as they were gathered on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit descended from heaven, answering Jesus' prayer, by the way, which is also referred to as the promise of the Father. The Holy Spirit came down, and you've all read about it, and the Spirit manifested himself as cloven or split flames over their heads. You've seen the artist drawings of that, right? Kind of a weird-looking thing. And a strange, unusual showing. But that wasn't the point. In fact, what happened? The 120 began to speak with other tongues. Remember that? And what did they speak? The Bible says that they spoke all of these various languages of the world. Known languages of men. We call it tongues of men. They spoke known languages. Here's the miracle. There's a bunch of them, but here's the deal. When the Arabians were there, and when the Cretans were there, and when all these various Ethiopians were there, when all of these people were there, and the Spirit was poured out, they heard 120 untaught, unlearned people speaking perfectly in the languages that were standing around. They heard perfect language of their own tongue in their ears, the wonderful works of God. And they even said, how is this that these people who have never learned or known our words proclaim the glorious works of God? And then Peter answers their question. This is what the Holy Spirit spoke through the prophet Joel. Now that's amazing. That is certainly the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues, mark it down. If we have time, we'll see it tonight. The gift of tongues is mentioned in Scripture. It's one of, and scholars differ on this. Some scholars say there's 9 gifts, and some scholars have gone so far out to say that there's 21 gifts. Well, the point is, the gift of tongues is one of the gifts. And here, in the book of Acts, it talks about how they opened their mouths and they spoke, and they, by divine presence, they knew these other languages perfectly. The Spirit of God spoke, and it glorified God. Those were the tongues of men, tongues of a known language. But there's also a tongue that is not known to men. And the Bible makes mention of both these. There's tongues of earth, and there's tongues of heaven or angels, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 13:1. And God gives both those things. So why are we bringing that up? Because it's important in light of what we saw last week, and I'm going to answer some questions that you might have. But know this. Make no mistake about it. The Bible says, I believe, I didn't write it down in my notes, but I believe this is true. Someone look it up and tell me if it's wrong, raise your hand. But I think Romans 11:29 says that the gifts and the callings of God are given without, really the word means him taking them back. Okay? The old King James, I think, says without repentance. It means that God, once he gives a gift, he doesn't take them back. Say, why am I bringing this up? Because the Holy Spirit is so for today in the life of the believer, so for today in this church, that you cannot, and I can't tell you how much pleasure it gives me to say this, even though it creates a firestorm. I kind of like a fight. I don't care who says what, and I don't care how famous they are. I don't care how big their church is. If a guy on the radio says, well, there are now, in the 21st century, only certain gifts that the Holy Spirit has left with us today. Do you realize, do you understand that when somebody says that, he's flying in the face of the biblical Word of God? Period. If somebody says, well, there's, yeah, and I always find it interesting, they always promote the gifts that they have, and they put down the gifts they don't. Well, yeah, there's pastor, teacher, there's evangelist, there's this, there's that, but there's no healing. There's no healing anymore. In fact, I heard a guy on the radio, you'd know his name if I said it, very famous man. He says, God replaced that gift with the understanding today that we have through medical doctors. That's insane. That's nuts. He said, there's no more healing. There's no more tongues and interpretation of tongues because there's no use for it. Well, who made him the Holy Spirit? Poor God, he didn't know this. And then there's this argument, well, if our church, if our denomination can't explain it, then it can't exist. It goes against our denominational sway, so we're just going to ignore it. We're going to skip over those chapters. We're not going to go through those verses of the Bible. And because you can't listen, because the Holy Spirit refuses to be controlled, he'll only be quenched, by the way. Did you hear that? He refuses to be controlled, but you can quench him. You can send him away if you'd like. And God help that church that sends away the Holy Spirit. It has the form of godliness, but denies the power thereof. But the important thing is this. All of the gifts recorded in your New Testament have been given for the edification of the body of Christ. Is that not what the Scripture says? Then let me ask you this. Do you not need to be edified? Do you not need encouragement? Do you not need strengthening? Then whenever any gift, I don't care if it's tongues or healing or as I'm doing now, this is a gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? I'm teaching. Every gift is to be used to strengthen the body. Well, then why do people go, oh no! Last Wednesday, we had tongues, interpretation tongues. We had a word of wisdom and a word of exhortation. People can handle the words of exhortation and the word of wisdom. Did you know that? You didn't have any problem with that. But some people, whoa, what was that? Well, wait, why are you acting like that? The only way that you would act like that is because someone's fed something to you. They scared you. Or you were in a church setting when, you know, somebody says, all right, let's worship the Lord. And people are going, blah, and boo. And it's like, what is this? Well, that was a service out of control, obviously. Out of order. But just because someone's had a bad experience doesn't mean the word of God is void. It means that you had a bad experience. It means that you were involved in a weird setting. No matter how sincere they might have been, everything is written with great detail and order concerning the operational use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And the funny thing is, every one of you who are born again tonight, you rely upon and you need greatly the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Some of us have just gotten by, though, because we refuse to acknowledge, all the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God wants to move. Are we not closer to the days of Joel than ever before? We are. Hey, what happens if your sons and your daughters start prophesying and seeing dreams and visions? Sit down, Junior. You're out of control. What are you going to do? I don't know what you're doing. You're going to quench the Holy Spirit.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson called Church Growth 101. It's actually a mini-series taken from 1 Samuel and, in this case, a few other passages from throughout Scripture. We'll continue with more of this fascinating series of studies through this Old Testament book of 1 Samuel on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Okay, if you've been listening to Real Radio for the last week or two, you've heard us talk about this month's special offer, Pastor Jack's DVD series called What in the World is Going On? It's a look at what's happening in these last of the last days as prophesied in Scripture. You got to admit, when we see what's been happening in our world these days, we can't help but ask that very question, what in the world is happening here? Well, the best way to answer that question is not through speculation, it's through Scripture. And that's exactly why we're still offering Pastor Jack's DVD, What in the World is Going On? Now, when we say special offer here at Real Radio, that's exactly what it means. For your gift of any amount to this ongoing radio outreach, we'll send you Pastor Jack's double DVD lesson, What in the World is Going On? Call, click, or write when you send in your tax-deductible gift. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you like using the mailbox, write to us at Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Ask for that double DVD set by name, What in the World is Going On? And of course, all of our contact info can be found at realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.